Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You have a lot to get into, but it's interesting that we've talked a lot about the, you know, you said earlier you're angry that this game has robbed us of the, you know, 8-2 Browns versus the 8-2 Steelers.
Yeah.
What it felt like the rivalry was becoming again, I feel the same way about the Myles Garrett, TJ Watt feud, not a feud that's going on.
Oh, you want it to be a feud when it clearly isn't really actually a feud because the team sucks.
Yeah, no, that's like it was. Like last
year,
part of TJ Watt's little crybaby session and skipping the NFL honors banquet and the poutiness and the, oh my God, it's a joke on social media. All of that was because, and like, if it was Micah Parsons that had won it, I don't know, TJ Watt would have thrown that little hissy fit.
I'm trying to think about it because I genuinely think TJ Watt just felt it was earned. I think him and the Watt family, the JJ on his behalf and everyone, I think they just believed he was the best.
Like, By the way, who thinks like that when it comes to an award? Like, I understand that the great athletes.
JJ's got three of them, and so I think that there might be a little bit of an arms race between the two of them that way.
But yeah, it was Miles first.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
It's just bizarre to me when people think like
the entitlement attached to it.
Yeah, like that. Honestly, that's where I lost respect for TJ. It's okay to have public disappointments. I still think you're a bit of a chotch for being upset about a Defensive Player of the Year award. But okay, maybe he had an incentive in his contract or something like that. But I still think it's not great if you really believe you're entitled to an award. But then voicing it publicly and making that a part of somebody else's moment, I thought was peak chotch. But I can't get up for it. Like when Miles, if anybody had missed this comment by Miles, Miles was asked by Mary Kay Cabot in Berea earlier this week about if he was upset with TJ Watt's reaction to the DPO OY award from last year.
I've never complained about the trophy not being in my house and vice versa. You know, he shouldn't be feeling two ways about, you know, it going to me. You know, I'm just going to play the game. I don't play against TJ. He doesn't play against me. But we have a plan to, you know, go out and do what we're supposed to, win the game, and dominate on defense. But it's up for grabs this year, and we'll see the best man win.
Is there an extra motivation that comes with that?
Absolutely.
Did TJ ever say anything to you after that?
No, he didn't say nothing to me. No, he got to apologize when I see him.
All right, so if the Browns were 6-4 and the Steelers were 8-2, I'd be on the bleep TJ Watt train right now, and I just can't whole-ass it. I'm half-assing it if we're being honest.
You'd love TJ Watt if he played for the Browns.
Well, yeah, and Steelers fans would love Miles if he played in Pittsburgh.
I don't know that that's true necessarily. I don't know. The dynamic there is so interesting, and it's so weird to me. And I was trying to figure out why we don't hate TJ Watt as much as we should.
Oh, I think TJ Watt, especially after last year, I think TJ Watt's one of the guys. And it's jealousy.
Now, Steelers fans have way more of a right to hate Myles Garrett than we hate TJ Watt because of Myles Garrett and the helmet incident and everything attached to it.
You mean where they just completely disregarded what actually happened and applied their own narrative to it?
Yes, and they completely threw the idea out there that Mason Rudolph could have said anything to him.
Yeah.
You know, just completely ignore that part of the story. But that's either here nor there. But like I feel like you hate TJ Watt. I feel like I never get calls about people being like, man, TJ Watt stinks. I hate TJ Watt. I can't stand him. Like when I see TJ Watt out on the field, I don't get that visceral anger that maybe I should have for him. But I know Steelers fans have that when they see Myles Garrett. Why have I not been able to cross over to that side of things with T.J. Watt.
Is it entirely possible that the Browns have just not been consistently good enough?
I mean, well, if anything, though, this should be the peak time of us being able to dunk on the Steelers. This year obviously takes that out of the equation. For 34 straight years, the Steelers finished higher than the Browns in the standings, Nick. Last year was the first time that we had it. We talked about the success the Browns have had over Tomlin at home in Cleveland Browns Stadium over the previous 3 years. Like, if anything, now would be the time. So I can't even fall back on that.
I would guarantee you, because I think you're in the I almost said you're in the anomaly. That's not how words work. I think you are the anomaly, that if we ask people, like, do you hate T.J. Watt? I think you're going to hear a lot of people say,
is he the most hated AFC North player?
Yeah,
because for Steelers fans, Myles Garrett's the most hated AFC North player, and it's not even close.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, like, who else would you hate? Like, I don't think people hate Lamar like that. I know people don't hate Joe Burrow, because every time I bring it up.
You instinctively go back to quarterbacks. I think Joe Burrow's been way more polarizing. I think we've obviously spent a lot more time, because quarterbacks.
Well, but like,
we just do that.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, like, Ray Lewis was the most hated AFC North foe for the Browns for 15
years.
So, like, I think that's kind of where TJ is. And, again, I don't know it was that case. I think a lot of people are on the bandwagon with me that TJ showed his ass last year. That's an embarrassing look for a grown man.
I think it happened on Twitter. I don't think it was.
We talked about it for a week. Everybody talked. I mean, national shows talked about it for a week.
We talked about it, but it wasn't. I don't know. I mean, it was not good, but I don't think that tweet alone in the defense of Myles Garrett is enough for me to be like, all of a sudden, if you hated T.J. Watt, you hated him before that, did you not?
No, I don't know. That's a really bad look. I mean, I'll continue to go back to it, especially in a blue-collar town. I'm surprised it didn't earn him some hate in Yinzer country. Because that's a kind of, if Miles had done the same thing here, he would have been lambasted. He would have been, yes, there would have been people defending him. There always are people defending athletes.
Right.
That's
well, you're always
going to
get both sides there.
But I guarantee you, if Miles had pulled that in Cleveland, he would have taken a hell of a lot of flack for it. No,
I mean, it was a crybaby move. No one's trying to make the move seem right. I'm just trying to figure out. I'm trying to talk it out as to why I feel like, and I just might be wrong with it. That happens from time to time, Nick. But I can't figure out why I don't have the hatred for T.J. Watt the same way that Steelers fans have the hatred for Myles Garrett.
Do you, as a Browns fan, hate T.J. Watt as much as
sports hate? Obviously,
sports. Well, maybe just real.
Actually,
hate
maybe
too.
Real hate, because you're talking about him showing his ass. So that kind of transcends anything he's done in the field.
Some people might like that. I'm saying.
By the way, T.J. Watt has dominated the Browns in recent
years.
Yeah,
that's another reason. What is it? I almost said 17 sacks.
19
can't be
is
right.
The number.
19.
19 in 12 games.
I mean, this is the defensive version of Ben Roethlisberger.
Like, I'm thinking of memorable T.J. Watt moments. He had the big scoop and score, obviously.
Thank you, Jed Wills.
I wonder if we were more competitive in the previous couple years when we actually took on the Steelers, if maybe that would have been different. I don't know. Like last year, that was a Week 2 matchup, I believe, if memory serves me right, against Deshaun. And then that was a great game that they had against Deshaun, but like that was in one ear, out the other.
By the way, Alex Highsmith made the play, just so we're clear on that one. Not T.J. Watt. Do you, as a Browns fan,
T.J. Watt never had a scoop and score?
No. He scooped and scored. Yeah, he picked it up.
Yeah, but Highsmith,
but it was
made,
Highsmith
the
made the actual
yeah,
play.
But like Watt,
the
like,
real football
Watt,
play. Yeah, he T.J.
You're
got
right
the
that
easy
he made
part.
The real football play,
yeah.
But like that's
yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, one guy did the work, and then the other guy got the credit. That's what I'm saying.
Objectively fair take by you.
Look at that. That's all I wanted. Do you, as a Browns fan, hate T.J. Watt as much as Steelers fans profess to hate Myles Garrett? And let's go inside the numbers here. Jackson Deacon and Associates, for all your insurance needs, get inside the numbers with Jackson Deacon and Associates. The numbers look pretty darn good. The second-best scoring defense in football. The Steelers allowing just 16.2 points per game, JP. Meanwhile, the Browns letting up a bottom 10 number, 24.8 points per game. I guess it's not as bad as the Panthers. The Panthers are giving up 31 points per game. That is
it's not great.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's untenable.
I checked a lot of inside football people. We sourced that one out. That one's not good,
not,
Nick.
Not great.
Not where you want to be on that one.
Inside the Numbers brought to you by Jackson Deacon and Associates.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For all your insurance needs, get inside the numbers with Jackson Deacon and Associates. So I'll ask you, do you feel like the Browns being bad is taking air out of the Myles Garrett, TJ Watt feud, faux feud, whatever you're going
to
call this?
Well, I mean, and then TJ Watt tried to spin it into the old what we do with quarterbacks. You know, our quarterbacks are like, well, okay, Russell Wilson versus Jameis Winston. Russell Wilson would be like, well, I don't actually play Jameis Winston. I play their defense. And then TJ Watt turned it around to that. No, we're keeping score tonight, okay? And this has got to be a premier Myles Garrett day, because Myles Garrett was on a milk carton last week. He's battling injuries, obviously. Like, this is – you want to get your revenge on TJ Watt? Nothing excites me more than a pissed-off Myles Garrett.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Don't poke the bear.
But again, it's taking the wind out of my sails here, because it's like you're going to get two sacks and a loss.
Well, so I think –
I need a great Myles Garrett game and a win stifle them a little bit. Play a little spoiler.
It's a great point by you. I have never been more kind of down with what pass rushers deliver to a game than I have been after the Chargers game, where Myles Garrett had three sacks and four plays, Nick. And Justin Herbert on that drive not only scored points, but immediately after, three sacks and four plays, converted two first downs within that stretch there. Yeah. And it just erased everything that he
did. Well, I think what that tells you is that if one player's really great and the other 10 aren't, well, I guess it's just going to be about the other 10. Right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you, is just Myles having a big game in this, is that enough?
I mean,
or do you need the big game and the win?
I think you got to get the win. I think if Myles has a massive game and then they don't win, I think we're going to look around and say, okay, but TJ Watt's now on a 9-win team. They're still obviously going to the postseason, and TJ Watt's going to get the last laugh. That's how this works.
Yeah.
I mean, TJ Watt's getting the last laugh regardless, probably.
Yeah, and this is the thing that – so it's not just that the Browns are bad and the Steelers are good. I don't think the Steelers are fraudulent. Like, we've had so many years.
Yeah, I do. That's the difference.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, but I expect them to get better as they go on, because that's what good teams do. I think the deep play ball consistently is really the only thing that's been missing from this team. Russ doesn't have to be great. He doesn't have to be the most efficient guy. He just needs to hit three moon balls a game, and he needs to put 24 points up per game. And I think they have a chance to do something.
I mean, you're a big touchdown guy. How many touchdowns did they score last week against the Ravens in that victory? The answer is zero.
That was all field goal?
It was all six Chris Boswell field goals.
Dan Orlovsky says that's not how you win this game.
You say that's how you don't win this game.
That's one game. Listen, they won. That's all that matters about that game.
I watched the first half where Russell Wilson was about as bad as you could watch a quarterback play football.
What about the second half?
Yeah, much better in the second half. I've watched eight quarters of Russell Wilson in the previous 2 weeks, and I've watched him be objectively awful for six of them.
Well, you haven't met the slump buster that is the Browns defense just yet. Are the Browns struggles taking the air out of the Garrett-Watson feud? Rob in Painesville, you stick there. We've got Around the North coming up next. More on this game, but we'll hear on you guys about this Garrett Watt feud on 92.3 The Fan. Be an embarrassing loss for the Steelers, because they're trying to paint it that it's not.
It would be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a short week. I get that. And it's going to be the weather is going to stink. And I understand all that as well. Nick, it's unequivocally an embarrassing loss for the Steelers if you lose this game. The Browns can't do anything right now.
But the only thing is, I do wonder, there is a national love fest going for Kevin Stefanski right now around football. We had Ross on yesterday. I got steamrolled by Ross because I didn't know he wanted to go have a fight. He wanted to have a fight.
That was a Donnybrook. Although we were quiet on our end. We just kind of let him talk. And then all the comments were like, Ross body bagged you.
He did, because I didn't know we were having a fight.
Well, no. The people were like our buddy Jack Duffin was like, he really got you with all the facts. It's like, what facts? The confidence pills are now facts? That's not a fact.
Did that one stick in your craw a little bit?
A little bit.
It's okay. I'm still on
it. I like
it.
Jack,
didn't really bug
but
me
like,
no, I mean, I,
that's,
but,
not a, that's not a fact.
But, like, everybody is coming to the defense of Kevin in the way that Ross Tucker is.
Well, but this is the push,
and
Nick.
So
this is the push.
But I think that's, well, but I think that's the point is, I think people around football have actually gotten back to rooting for the Browns because they don't want Kevin Stefanski fired. So
you're
going to hear people say, "Ah, oh, what a Kevin Stefanski's record in the AFC North. They've got a chance tonight. They're going to settle a fight for
No, I'm going to put this pretty simple for a lot of people out there. I don't think Ross is that in when it comes to the Browns brass or anything like that, that he would be a part of the people I'm going
to They all went to Ivy League schools, just like me.
I don't know. I don't know that Ross is that connected to it. I think Ross genuinely just believes that that's what he wants to have happen, and he's just seen a lot of football carnage. He'd love to be able to see Kevin Stefanski get more opportunities and more chances and have more than half of a decade. I think when it comes to Schefter, who is now singing the same praises and the same tune, and I think when it comes to Mary Kay is as plugged into this team as anybody that I know and anybody in football. I don't think it's an accident that now Schefter, Mary Kay, and we throw Ross in there as well, are all singing the same tune. The call's coming from inside the house, Nick.
Yeah, but do you
They're reporting what they're being told, I would imagine. And take it for what it's worth.
But let's be clear about the lyrics. The lyrics are for now.
Well, that's the important part.
Everybody's taking what
everyone knows. You can't predict Jimmy Haslam.
Well, and here's the thing. Everybody knows 2-15 is a possibility. And you just can't, in the NFL, to go 2-15, it's an all systems failure. This is you ended up in fat camp singing show tunes trying to slave off about 5-10 pounds at a time.
Do fat camps, do they still exist?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I feel like that's something
now,
that doesn't exist anymore.
But now they're called health clinics. Yeah, they don't call them fat camps anymore. They've changed the branding on it.
That is good branding. Good PR by Big Fat
really,
out there.
Really, well, it's Big Skin.
Big
Skinny, as they're known. But that being said, I don't think people realize how much mileage Browns fans are going to get out of this in the next 48 hours if the Browns do win this game, because we're the first people to say, boy, does this team suck.
Oh, I thought you were going to say if they lose this game. Like, if they lose this game, I think a lot of people are going to look at Schefter, they're going to look at Mary Kay, they're going to look at Ross, and they're going to say, you're defending this.
No. I agree with that. And I think – I don't know. I don't want to say that Browns fans are rooting for failure tonight, because I don't think any of that is true. I think we're all wanting that win tonight regardless – well, I shouldn't say all, because there was one or two people on Twitter who don't want to win tonight. I can't live in that reality. I have to root for my team, even if I know, big picture, it's not the best thing for you. But I digress. But in terms of a loss to this Browns team, it would disprove the Ravens game. The Ravens
From a Steelers perspective.
Yeah, from the Steelers perspective, the Ravens game was supposed to be the almighty, the anointing.
I think the Commanders were the start of that, because up until then, I mean, they did beat the Chargers. We just kind of dismiss it, but that's because the Chargers weren't very good at that point, and Herbert was banged up. They beat the Falcons. That was very early on in the season. I kind of throw those games away. I just tend to. I think the Commanders game was the we arrived with Russ game for the Steelers, and I think the Ravens game, that's the one that a lot of Steelers fans are really clinging on to.
All right, so then I'll throw this up.
They didn't look good, and everyone knows they didn't look good in that game.
Would this be a worse loss than the Ravens' win would be a good win?
Whoa, you lost me there. Can you do that one more time?
No, not really, because it was a very convoluted way of saying the question. So as wins go, would this be the worst possible loss for the Steelers? Because I don't think the Ravens are the best possible win for the Steelers. It would be the Chiefs or the Bills right now.
Yeah, this is just another game on the Steelers' schedule. I mean, it is. It's an AFC North game, but it's just another as far as
Tomlin's talking it up.
Yeah, but
Tomlin doesn't want to get greased in this game.
It's all Fugazi. It's not real.
Fugazi.
It's not real. You know it, and I know it. It's not real.
I just like when you say Fugazi. You kind of went to like a voice there, like hey, Fugazi.
You have to a little bit. I turn into Tommy DeVito when I do it.
See, it's funny you were thinking about. I was thinking Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So wait. So I've lost the plot in my own head here as we're having the conversation.
I think we both lost the plot as we go around the AFC North.
I think it had something to do with the loss and the better and the worse and the whatever.
I mean, if you're trying to judge Steelers wins or losses, this is not the game that Steelers fans are going to judge it off of in the win column.
Oh.
If you lose this game, then I do think there's going to be a little bit more panic that some of the things I'm saying about the Steelers is actually rearing its ugly head and could be true. The idea that Russell Wilson right now maybe got the most because he was better to have a better deep ball than Justin Fields, but really that's just built on a house of cards. That's just a lie waiting to happen, and they're going to have to win just defense and defense alone, and we'll see how far that takes you in the NFL.
So based on what you're saying, judging off what I've heard this week, Steelers fans have been so loud and demonstrative for a team that, quite frankly, they shouldn't.
I haven't heard it the same way.
Like, I feel like it's – well, okay, again, maybe this is a case of I'm judging by social media. Like, I've noticed an uptick this week in just Brown-centric things that yins have been out on, trying to antagonize me, and you know me. I don't really give a damn about any of that, so it doesn't work. I've seen one or two things that have worked. Ken in a shoot. I've seen other hosts of the station kind of hear from yins and getting mad about it. Like, I think this would be an embarrassing loss because I think they think this is a cakewalk. And it's to me, like, the biggest reason – okay, the number one reason I'm rooting for a Browns win is –
I mean, shouldn't they think this is a cakewalk if you're them?
Yes, which is exactly why it would be a horrific loss if the Steelers lost this game.
Yeah, we're getting to the same spot then.
Yeah. And I like, it's honestly getting me excited for the game.
It's embarrassing for Pittsburgh. It's sad, though, that's going to be the best redeeming quality of tonight if they win and they win big. It's not like, oh, Stefanski's saving his job, and we'll talk about all those angles. But the sweet justice for tonight and tonight alone would be the idea that – you'd be exposing the Steelers and giving them an awful loss.
Yeah, I don't see anything sad about that. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. Like, this is
it's a good time. It's a good time the same way in eating pizza for two straight meals is a good time.
All right, that felt personal. I will tell you, I said earlier the Browns can't hurt me anymore. That is true. They can thrill me. We're almost in a situation where you're in a no-lose situation.
I was going to say, are we in a win-win situation?
Yes, and it's the weirdest way.
How do we get a win-win territory in a two-win team?
If you lose to the Steelers, we can all do the big picture thing of, well, you're supposed to lose, and now...
And we will, by the way.
You're one game closer to the end of the season, and you got a top-three pick and all that stuff. But if you win... Man, do we have some bleep to hand out for Pittsburgh fans to eat.
I think you might be right. We are so far away from expectations for this team right now, and we're really just living in a win is gravy, and that's it. Now, there is the Browns fan that'll turn this around and say, a win tonight kills your draft stock, and a win tonight doesn't help out your chances, but we're not there yet. Me and you aren't there yet.
Yeah, there are a few people on social media there. Daryl Ryder joins us next. We'll get into this alleged no-lose situation for the Cleveland Browns on 92.3 The Fan. Fantasy football brought to you by Collision Bend, where expertly crafted food and beer collide. What do you have for us there, JP?
I think tonight's focus has got to be on Jerry Jeudy. It's a tough spot. Jerry Jeudy had an amazing game last week, and you're like, oh, I'm thinking about Jerry Jeudy long term here. I don't think they're going to throw the ball that much tonight, Nick. I know Stefanski just loves to throw the ball. The way the weather's set up, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, I just don't think it's going to be that high of a passing game. Vegas over-under is 37 for the game right now. Jerry Jeudy is a hell of a risk if you got him on your team right now. He could be boom or bust.
I was kind of thinking of if you have like a flex spot open, or you just maybe need to take a Hail Mary shot on a spot on your roster. It's time to our guy Cole before the show. I'm thinking Nick Chubb. This feels like a game I would expect Nick Chubb to get into. This is the revenge game, into the end zone at least once, and then beyond that, get the man 12 carries, 50, 60 yards.
Stefanski owes it to him, right?
Yeah, he does owe it to him. And that is fantasy football brought to you by Collision Bend, where expertly crafted food and beer collide. And now we welcome on Browns beat reporter for 92.3 The Fan, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, boys. Happy game day.
Happy game day. Are we still feeling confident? The last time we talked, you had said this feels like a game the Browns have no business winning, but they might. How are we still feeling about that?
Well, I don't know if I was expressing confidence. I was just, I think, talking myself into the fact that the Browns could win this one tonight, because when you look at it on paper, the weather forecast being what that is, you guys were talking about Nick Chubb with fantasy football tonight, because he'd probably be the only player I'd want to play in fantasy football tonight, or maybe the Steelers defense, because of the fact that this game's going to get won in the trenches. And on both sides of the ball, the Steelers, in my view, have that advantage, but weird things happen in this series. Mostly they happen at the Browns' expense. But the trends are what the trends are. Home teams have done really well in this series in recent history. Steelers don't exactly play their best on Thursday Night Football. So that is how I'm trying to talk myself into the 2-8 Browns upsetting the first place 8-2 Pittsburgh Steelers in the game that, quite frankly, the Browns probably should get blown out in, but I do not see that happening tonight. I think this is going to be a low-scoring, close football game.
Daryl, you got a long night ahead of you. You'll be up until 2, maybe even 3 in the morning. I'm sure you'll do the post game with Baskin and everything like that and all these other things. Is there any part of you at all today that has thought about how maybe angry, maybe upset you are about what this game could have signified, should have signified, instead of what it actually is, where it's a 2-8 Browns team against a really good Steelers team?
Well, I mean, look, the disappointment to this season and what we have seen from this football team, I don't think I've hidden that at all, Jonathan, in the past couple of weeks. What was invested in this roster, the capability of the players that they have here and the fact that they are 2-8, yeah, I mean, it's grossly disappointing. It's malpractice that this team is where it's at, but it's where they're at, and it is what it is. So we'll see what they're able to do. It's on, I guess, pseudo national TV. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. They did not flex out the Monday night game at Denver a week from Monday. I have to think that they're going to flex the Browns out of that Thursday nighter against the Bengals in December, as well as the Sunday nighter against the Miami Dolphins. But the next 2 weeks, starting tonight, the nation gets to watch what we've gotten to watch for these last 10 games.
You got to pin their eyes open like it's Clockwork Orange. All right, we got to watch it. You got to watch it, Daryl. Is Kevin Stefanski coaching for his job today?
No, he's not. I mentioned this last night in my game preview. Look, my thing is there does need to be some accountability at some point for this disaster. I don't know that Kevin Stefanski's the problem. I think he can be the solution, but I don't know at this point. I think the personnel department certainly needs to be looked at, because I think that they have really failed. This was supposed to be a window of contention for them, and you only got 2 playoff seasons out of going 4-44 and doing that whole teardown rebuild with just 1 playoff victory. And that win in Pittsburgh in the midst of COVID, where no one was in the building, like, that's not where this franchise should have peaked. But unfortunately, that's where this rebuild has peaked, and they're going to have to go through some sort of, I don't want to say rebuild, but retool here in the next 1 to 2 years. You can turn it back around rather quickly in the NFL. But no, Kevin Stefanski's job, in my view, is not on the line tonight. Now, if they get completely embarrassed tonight, could the seat start to warm up a little bit? Absolutely. But right now, as we speak, Kevin's job is not in jeopardy.
Daryl, do you feel like for tonight the Steelers will try to use, last week they used Justin Fields and they tried to have him close out the game, but they used him more than that. He wasn't used a ton, but he was used more than that. Do you feel like they'll look at what happened with Taysom Hill last week and say to themselves, oh, Justin Fields can maybe play that role for us?
Oh, 100%. I mean, and if you're Mike Tomlin, you'd be foolish not to try something like that. I mean, everyone except for the Cleveland Browns defense knew Taysom Hill was coming, and he scored 3 touchdowns, including a 75-yarder off of those keepers coming out of the backfield there. So, I do feel like that Mike Tomlin can look at that film and see some opportunity to get creative. It's, I guess, supposed to be a little windy tonight. It's a little windy out right now, so I don't know that this is the optimal environment for either one of these quarterbacks to be throwing it. Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston to be throwing it 35 to 40 times this evening. But having Fields do some of that Taysom Hill type stuff, I think makes perfect sense considering how awful the Browns were defending it a week ago.
Daryl, should we expect a heavy dose of Nick Chubb today for the Browns?
I don't know if you're going to get a heavy dose of Nick Chubb. Kevin's been very cautious about talking about that very subject, Nick. Now, could he get 20 carries tonight? No. Could he get me? Because he had 22 snaps last week against the Saints. Could that snap count maybe get edged up a little bit to maybe 25? I think that's a possibility. Maybe he gets between 10 and 15 carries tonight. I just don't think that he's ready, and the Browns want to put him in a position where they want to hand him the football 18 to 24 times in the game tonight. I don't see that happening. And to your point earlier that you made about in the red zone, close to the goal line, getting the ball to Chubb so he can pound it in. Yes, those type of situations I absolutely see Kevin Stefanski trying to take advantage of, but a high volume of carries for Nick Chubb I just don't think is in the cards.
Do you think Browns fans are going to try to send a message to the Haslams tonight and maybe selling some of their tickets to Steelers fans, or maybe just not even showing up and letting Steelers fans take over?
Well, sell them. How about just giving them away? You laugh, I apologize for sounding so facetious and sarcastic there, but I do have a friend that is a Browns fan. He just gave his tickets away because he just wanted to be done with them. So I kind of worry that we may have a terrible towel takeover down by the lake. I don't know that it's going to be a 50-50 split or a 75-25 split like we have seen in years past, but I am expecting when I drive downtown to see a lot of black and gold, unfortunately.
So you apologize this time for being facetious?
Yes. Okay. What you get, that's my mulligan. I think I deserve a mulligan, Nick.
That's the buzzword of the week.
You and everybody in the Browns, like everyone. There's nothing to see here. Bring everybody back. It's been such a successful season.
It really has. It's been such a great rebuild. They've gotten so much out of going 4-44 that they're probably going to do it again. Can't wait.
It really is the Cleveland version of the process. Well, although I think they might have had more success in Philly. Daryl, be good, buddy. Appreciate you.
You bet, guys. Enjoy the game tonight.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So as we continue on, we do have a update on kickoff conditions coming back, but we also have to get to Pete Futek, College Football News. Joins us every single Thursday here on Afternoon Drive. We'll get his thoughts on the opinion shared on this station that Indiana is a fake top five team. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.